Remember the old TV show about that place where everybody knows your name? Well, Pastor Al Pittman reminds us today that for the Christian, the wonderful truth is that God knows your name.
God desires not to blot out your name, but to blot out your sins. Isaiah 44:22, the Lord says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. The great joy that we have as believers is this, is that he knows my name. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life to never be removed. He knows your name.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Just before his death, actor W.C. Fields was thumbing through a Bible. Asked what he was doing with a Bible, Fields replied, I'm looking for loopholes. Well, as you may know, when it comes to salvation, there are no loopholes. Hello and welcome to The Dwelling Place. On behalf of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, it's great to have you with us as our senior pastor Al Pittman continues to lead us through Revelation. We're talking about Judgment Day today. Did you know that there's a growing segment of Christianity that believes that hell doesn't actually exist? Here's Pastor Al now to get us started today with proof of the existence of hell from Luke chapter 16.
There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, but he went to another place. What place is that? Well, the Bible says, verse 23 here in Luke chapter 16, and being in torment, torments, plural, in Hades. Hades is not hell, it's the grave. It's the place of the wicked dead. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Not that Abraham was holding Lazarus to his chest, but that Lazarus was there with Abraham. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip, just the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And people talk about, oh, we get to hell, we're going to party. No, I don't think so. Verse 25, and Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him, that is Lazarus, to my brother's house, for I have five brothers, that they may testify, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, oh no, Father, you don't get it. Father Abraham, you know, Father was just a title, a phrase of respect. Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And I remind you that one has come from the dead. We're going to celebrate his resurrection in a few weeks. Amen? If one would just come from the dead, oh, they would repent. And then Abraham said, but he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, if they do not respond to my word, as people are hearing the word even now as I speak, it's not the vessel, it's the word. And the Lord said, say, have my word. If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one, though one rise from the dead. Amen, Lord. You are so true. You're so true. Because the world is still not persuaded, even though one is risen from the dead to this very day. There's a great gulf between them that separates them. Jesus was not just telling them a nice little story, but explaining to them what happened to the godly, the righteous dead, and what happens to the godless, the wicked dead. Remember when he was on the cross, he said to the one thief who believed in him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Is that what the Lord said? My question is, why didn't he say, "Today you will be with me in heaven"? Well, isn't that paradise? No. And the reason why he didn't say, "Today you will be with me in heaven," is because no one had gone to heaven. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. Follow me. Don't get lost. Heaven was made accessible after the resurrection of Christ and after he fulfilled the role of high priest. After. Jesus told the thief, "I'll be with you in paradise," aka Abraham's bosom, aka the place of the righteous dead. And he went there for a short time. But he also ascended to make atonement for our sins. Why do I say that? Oh, the book of Hebrews explains all of it. Jesus did not come to be a sacrificial lamb only, but he fulfilled the role of a high priest. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, talks about the fact that he went into the Holy of Holies, into the temple that is in heaven, not on earth. Because the temple on earth is only a copy of the temple in heaven. But the temple today is destroyed. It was destroyed in 70 AD in Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple in heaven. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, there he presented his own blood as atonement for our sins. Now, why is that significant? Because the high priest, throughout the history of the Jews, until the temple was destroyed, would go into the Holy of Holies, the sacred part of the temple, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur is called, happening this year, October 8th and 9th. They're still doing it, but there's no temple. But Jesus went into the temple, but the high priest would do it once a year, and he would offer the blood of an innocent sacrifice lamb on the top of the mercy seat of God, the Ark of the Covenant, and the Holy of Holies, for the forgiveness for the entire nation of Israel. But he would have to do it year after year after year after year. It was just a temporary fix. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, Jesus Christ took his own blood, offered it in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And he did it once and for all. Amen? That's the good news of the gospel. He doesn't have to go in year after year after year after. It's not religion. He brought us into a right relationship with the living God, offering himself once and for all. Amen. So nobody had gone into heaven until he had finished that work of atonement. Well, when did he finish it? He finished it when he went, ascended into heaven. He ascended as our high priest to make atonement for our sin. He went to Abraham's bosom, to paradise, because people often ask, well, what happened to those who died before Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead? What happened to those in Hebrews chapter 11 who died having not received the promise? Where did they go? They didn't go to heaven. You have to be cleansed. You have to be holy to enter into the presence of the Lord. What happened to those from the days of Noah and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where did all those people go? They went to Abraham's bosom. Why is it called Abraham's bosom? Because God made a promise to Abraham, the promise of Messiah, the promise of a Savior. Abraham's bosom, Abraham's promise.
We'll pause here for a moment, and Pastor Al will be right back with the second half of today's message in Revelation 20. Thank you for being a faithful listener to The Dwelling Place. I'd like to ask you to pray for this radio ministry as we seek to reach every corner of the world with the gospel. And let me remind you that if you haven't ordered your copy of Pastor Al's new book, Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, you can get a copy by going to our website, cwccs.org. And we'd also love to hear from you. Email us at amen@cwccs.org. It's a huge blessing to Pastor Al and all of us when we hear from our listeners. Now let's join Pastor Al once again for the second half of today's message in Revelation 20.
Abraham's bosom, paradise, the place of the righteous dead, no longer exists. There are those in Christianity who teach about purgatory, that when Christians die, they go to purgatory. And I believe the origins of that false teaching, because it is false, is Judaism. They still think there's a place you go, a waiting room that the righteous dead go to, and we wait. And some teach, some Christian circles teach you have to offer indulgences or some type of offering or whatever to help, or prayers to get that person out of purgatory into heaven. That's not in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. It is false teaching, and I don't apologize for telling you that. So then what happens to Christians? There's no need to go to a waiting room anymore. Why do I say that? Because of what Paul says. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So for the believer, this is after the resurrection of Christ. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have free access into glory. When we drop here on earth, we appear in his presence in heaven. Amen. We don't go to a waiting room, a purgatory. We go right into the very presence of God. Because he has made atonement. He has fulfilled the role of our everlasting high priest. And so therefore, we have free access. When we leave this world, we go into the next, into the very presence of the Lord. Amen. Hey, that's the good news of the gospel. The bad news is that the place of the wicked dead is still open for business. There's still vacancy there. And so those who occupy that place in verses 12 and 13 are resurrected to be judged. Wait a minute, Pastor. That's what I imagine people doing. Wait a minute, Pastor. The books are open. Doesn't that mean they have a chance? God's got the books and he's going to compare notes and they're going to have more attaboys and bad stuff. And God's going to say, okay, you got one more good thing, overcoming all the bad things. Come on into my kingdom. Is that going to happen? No. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it defies the word of God to believe that our good works are going to outweigh our bad. And that's going to be our ticket into heaven. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of what? Works. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't be good enough to get into heaven. Our righteousness is but a filthy rag, the Bible says, in the presence of God. We can't be holy enough. We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. Amen. It is by the righteousness of Christ, not our righteousness. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. Nobody's going to be in heaven talking about, yeah, help the Lord out a little bit. He needed me. No. We bring nothing to the table. He gave everything. So what are these books? These books contain the acts of those who are being condemned. They are, listen to me, they are the records which justify the judgment of God. That's what it is. The books are open. The books are open. The judgment of God. Why is God judging them then? If they're already condemned, why is he judging them? He's judging them to determine the degree of torment they will have in hell. Wait, there you go again, right? Remember what Jesus said. He said in rebuking Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. If you go to Israel with us in May, we'll see Capernaum, the ruins of it. It was the Lord's headquarters by the Sea of Galilee that he spent a lot of time in, the city of Capernaum. He rebukes these three cities because they ignored his mighty works. Jesus said to them, it will be more tolerable for Sodom. Now, Sodom's not getting off the hook. He said it would be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you, you three cities, because you saw the Messiah. You saw his mighty works, and yet you refuse to believe. God holds every one of us accountable for what we know. You sat in church. You heard the word. You knew the gospel. You understood the truth, and yet you would not believe. It's going to be more worse for you on that day than it will be for Sodom. That's what he's saying. My friend, hell is serious business. Another reason, and of course Jesus said that, you can go back and check it out in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 and 24. But for us, let me just say this, for us as believers, however, we will not. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, didn't say if you're a strong believer, a weak believer, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, you will not appear before the great white throne judgment we're reading about here. You know why? Here's the reason why. There's no books on you. Your record has been demolished through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? The books are open as a sign of judgment. And we will not stand in judgment because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because Christ took our judgment on the cross for us. And through faith in him, we've been delivered from the wrath and the judgment on this day. Jeremiah 31:34 says it well. The Lord God says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Lord, remember that sin. What sin? Your case has been thrown out. Your record has been abolished. Only our works will be judged. I talked about that some time ago. Our works will be judged. What we build on the foundation of Jesus' name will be judged. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. But we ourselves will not appear before the great white throne judgment. Another reason for God's judgment, and I found this out some years ago as I was like, man, Lord, it's kind of, to raise him up from Hades, which we know from the Lord's story about the rich man is a place of torment. People think, well, we're going to go to hell and party or whatever. No, Hades, the place of the wicked dead, is a place of torment. They're going to come, be resurrected from the place of torment, stand before the great white throne judgment, and then be sentenced to an eternal hell. I thought, Lord, isn't that like overkill? Why don't you just leave them there or just send them straight there? No, this is why God does, because God is not only a God of love and mercy, he's a God of justice. He's a just God, and he judges them publicly before all mankind, before all of his creation, so that they would know that he's a just God. David cleared this up for me when he said in Psalm 51, verse 4, he said, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." There'll be no miscarriage of judgment on that day. Nobody will be able to say, well, that's not fair, because they have the books. And God wants to know, when you're committed to hell, sentenced to hell, that you have actually sentenced yourself, and he's just in his judgment. Verse 14, death and Hades, the Hades being the grave, is all thrown into hell as well. There'll be no more grave. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And the saddest verse, I think, in all the Bible, and everyone and anyone, rather, not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Some people think when you come to Christ, God says, oh, I see that hand. Okay, let me write that person's name down. Oh, I see your hand. He writes that name down. He's writing people in the book of life. The reality is that he blots us out. The Bible says that God wishes that none should perish. Everybody has a chance to come to him. But when we leave this world in rebellion against God, resisting his love and his gospel, then we leave condemned. And therefore, God has to blot out your name. It's not that he, I never wrote their name down. No, he has to blot it out. Why? Because he wishes that none should perish. Everybody's name is in the book, but God will blot names out. Amen? You say, well, I don't know about that, but, I get it from just looking at scriptures. Deuteronomy 25, verse 6, Psalm 69, verse 28, Psalm 109, verse 13, speaks about God blotting out people's names as if they were already written in there. Then he blots them out. Amen. In conclusion, sadly, many church members will be standing before the great white throne judgment. I didn't say those who are born again. I'm saying church members. Because a lot of people believe that they have a church membership, they're on their way to heaven, but they've never been born again. Jesus will say on that day we just read about, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." That's someone in relationship with the Father who obeys the word of God. Then it's not talking about perfect people, but those who are in relationship with the Father through faith in Christ. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? I had a TV show, I wrote books in your name, cast out demons in your name. I had a traveling show. We went and rented out these ballrooms and hotels and had invited naive believers to come in and fake, healings and stuff. And all we healed people in your name.'" We've done many wonders, Lord, in your name. Oh, I'm the guy who was selling the miracle water from the Jordan that actually came out of my kitchen sink faucet. Amen. I'm the person selling a special anointing oil that promises prosperity. Remember me, Lord. Oh, I heard about you. But then he will declare to them, I never knew you. Never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity, lawlessness. Listen, my friend, God desires not to blot out your name, but to blot out your sins. Isaiah 44:22, the Lord says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. The great joy that we have as believers is this, is that he knows my name. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life to never be removed. He knows your name. I was telling a brother, Heather, the other service out there, you know, he knows my name. There's times I act like I don't know his name. Amen. But he never forgets my name. He knows my name. Aren't you glad he knows your name? This is the assurance we have in him. Amen. Amen. And your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, the Lord sent his son because he desires to not blot out your name, but to blot out your sins. Jesus said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
We hope that you've been blessed and challenged and encouraged by today's message. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org. and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center at either our Creekside or Westside campus. You'll find directions and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Now, here's a special message from Pastor Al.
Today in America, our nation is divided. In an atmosphere of racial, social, political, and economic upheaval, many families and individuals are searching for rest. Hi, I'm Pastor Al Pittman with Calvary Worship Center here in Colorado Springs. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The rest he spoke about is not just a few days away from the turmoil of this world, but rest for the soul. Rest which can only be found in a right relationship with God. You can have eternal rest in Christ today by simply repeating this prayer after me. Wherever you are, simply say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I confess I'm a sinner. Come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. Go to cwccs.org/Jesus, and we will send you free information to help you in your new life in Christ. God bless.
Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.